A Traitor to His Blood, J.T. Ellington, Book 5, written by M.P. Wright and read by Ben Onwukwe. I was sprawled out on a deep curve of the corner couch, reading my battered copy of King Lear and trying to work up enough enthusiasm and energy to get up off my ass and go make myself something to eat. It was a little after 10 and I'd been wrestling with the bard's blank verse since getting in from work. My day job nowadays finds me sat behind a desk, plying my trade part-time for the Bristol West Indian Friends Association. We're a kind of Caribbean Citizens Advice Bureau, a free confidential information group that helps out local folk in dealing with their troubles. 4 days a week, you'll find me sweating blood at the Bureau's office on Wilder Street, up to my neck dealing with the rest of mankind's woes. Right now, my own personal headache was whether or not I could be bothered to pad into the kitchen to heat up some of yesterday's brown dome chicken stew I'd made the night before. While I'd been lost in Lear's treacherous world, I'd managed to down a quart bottle of hooch without breaking a sweat, and by Act 4, my barren insides were starting to rumble for something other than 75% proof Barbadian gut rot. Chloe had gone out for the evening, sleeping over at my old friend Loretta Harris's house. It was Mother's Day weekend, and in many ways, Loretta had become the maternal rock that Chloe needed to cling to after Ruth's death. My niece had barely known her own mother. My sister Bernice had been murdered when Chloe was only 6. In the winter of 67, I'd returned home to Bim to settle an old score as well as conclude my sister's affairs. In doing so, her orphaned infant daughter became my ward. Over time, as Chloe grew and learned, I became Uncle Joseph. By the time she was 10 or so, she was calling me JT, like everyone else did. Now, few months shy of her 16th birthday, she simply refers to me as Pa. The ticking of the wind-up clock and the crackle of the fire's dying embers were the only sounds in the room. The clock, a much-treasured possession of my Aunt Pearl's, had been sat on the chimney-piece for as long as I could remember, encased in fine dark wood, its numerals wrought in pale pink metal, copper and tin, most probably. As I stared at the blank hands on the dial, I heard the sound of a car slow down and pull up outside, its tires squealing against the curb at the front of the house. The vehicle's engine died, quickly followed by a car door opening and slamming shut. None of that meant anything to me, but the unmistakable din of heel and toe caps tapping up the path towards my front door quickly got my attention. My brass horse tail knocker had already cracked 3 times by the time I'd got to my feet, the metallic kickback reverberating into the hall and through the closed door of the living room. By the time I had my hand on the front door handle, whoever was on the other side had hammered at it again twice more for good measure. One of the things the street teaches you is that if you bend over, you're bound to get kicked. Whoever was outside wasn't just passing by. This was no courtesy call. There was serious intent in their hammering, and I muttered something under my breath about an ill wind and immediately regretted doing so. Nothing seems to tempt fate more than mentioning the possibility of something bad happening. I heard myself curse as I put on my meanest expression and yanked open the door.